It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Love on the Rocks. Jordan throws three picks. Green Bay crumbles in a game they had no business losing. We'll start there. Meanwhile, the D in Big D stands for doubting Dakota. Is it time to accept this just isn't going to get any better? And then we'll go from Dak to Mac. He's been even more whack, heard more flack. Can he backtrack to what he used to pack? Or does he enter the rack and never make it back? Those are the questions. Here come the answers.
Yeah.
It's time to get up on a Tuesday. Let's go. Can I make up a rhyme? You better believe I can. Saturday is here. Neek is here. I'm Greeny. That's Graziano. And before anything else, he's got breaking news. Dan, what?
Yeah, Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson, the team plans to place him on injured reserve because of the hamstring injury he suffered in Sunday's game. That means he is required to miss at least the next four games. Oof. For a team that is out of the gate at 1-4 after winning its division last year. Isn't it amazing how quickly a season can just kind of go sideways? It feels like the season just started, and now we're talking about the Vikings falling out of it already. Big blow for them. Big blow for a lot of, you know, fantasy teams. Justin Jefferson, one of the best players in the league, going to miss at least four more.
Devastating, games. Obviously. First and foremost, horrible. The sport is never better when great players like that aren't playing. Second question. Does this mean that the Vikings, and we have talked about this earlier, should be considering the possibility of trading their quarterback, Kirk Cousins?
Absolutely. Listen, you know, I mean, without Justin Jefferson, this team isn't going anywhere. And the way Detroit's playing, they're already out. So why not look for him? You got him on a one-year deal. See if somebody will bite. J-E-T-S? Maybe. There's hope.
We have the suddenly surging Zach Wilson. All I've got is everyone telling me how good this kid is all of a sudden playing. We don't need Kirk Cousins, what everyone's telling me.
Oh, no.
3 weeks today is the trade deadline. Nate,
yeah,
what do you think?
I mean, I think it's hard to move a quarterback like this. It's obvious that Cousins is not the future. They haven't extended him past this, so I guess maybe you want to go in for it. But it's tough to walk back in that locker room when you traded your best offensive player is hurt, and then you trade the quarterback away. It's a tough
thing. If you're 1-7, 1-8, you trade him out.
Yeah.
You're trying to go find somebody.
Just remember, he has a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to leave, he doesn't have to, and that's a factor in this as well.
So they'll play three games before the trade deadline. That's Bears, Niners, Packers. We'll see. As far as the Packers are concerned, we saw them last night in Las Vegas. Game of the night, Monday Night Football, Raiders, Packers, Devontae Adams against his former team and his former coach, Matt LaFleur. They share a nice moment before the games begin. And then Jimmy Garoppolo with a nice moment for Jacoby Myers.
Oh, excellent pass. Jimmy Garoppolo making quick decisions in the red zone. Touchdowns are important down there, not field goals.
New England misses him
a little bit.
Early 7-3 lead for the Raiders, and then it's Jordan Love. Oh, he's got some spillaning to do.
Yeah, don't stare it down. You cannot stare it down, Love. That is never going to help you. I don't think there was a yellow hat within 5 yards and all.
Robert Spillane with the pick. Raiders a field goal. They're up 10-3 at the half. Third quarter, Garoppolo throwing his once-per-game interception. That's his allotment.
There were three hats there that could have picked that off. They were all yellow.
Ooh.
Packers get the ball, second and goal from the radio. Here comes Quadzilla, Jeffrey.
There we go. No physical. We're just going to run people over. Welcome back, NFL. Welcome back.
Packers tie it at 10. Next Packers possession. It's Love. He's scrambling. Oh, Christian Watson's wide open downfield.
It's outstanding to see Christian Watson have the speed and athleticism to make the play. But you got to finish it, Christian.
But wait.
In the red zone.
He broke a rule there.
Blatant horse collar. Packers only kick a field goal.
That's
critical
terrible
that they don't punch it in. And then Josh Jacobs takes care of it on the other
Did
side.
Did you see the brakes on Alexander? Hit that icky on him and gets up, gets north and south, gets the first down. That's what I'm talking about, Jacobs.
Devontae Adams, not a big night against his former team, just four catches, but this was a big one here to set it up in the scoring area, and it's Jacobs who would punch it in on the first play of the fourth quarter.
There you go, Fox. Football.
So the Packers behind Jordan Love had come from behind a couple of weeks ago, and it looked like they were lost. Can Jordan Love bring them back again? That's the question. The answer is no.
Yeah, he looks athletic. He's finding time. He's got open receiver. Puts it up. But them DBs don't be playing. Look at his interception. Outstanding athleticism, spatial awareness.
Three picks by Jordan Love. That one, the backbreaker. Raiders hold off the Packers. They win it 17-13. Disappointment on the Green Bay sideline after the game. Jordan, what?
we didn't do enough. You know, I didn't do enough. And, you know, obviously it's a lot of good stuff to learn from. But, you know, it's tough because we had opportunities to go win it, and we couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think at this point it's pretty obvious that the defense has to not give up any touchdown, you know. I think that's a part of being self-critical of our defense because, you know, the offense is pretty young, you know, and they're still figuring out their mojo. So, you know, the defense, we got to, you know, we got to be the ones to score and stop them from scoring.
Basically, he's saying our offense can't get it done right now, so we need to do it all. And Jordan Love really struggling. The last 2 weeks, he's thrown five picks. Last night on throws that were 5 yards or more downfield, he completed almost as many to the other team as he did to his own. And to add a little insult to injury here, I will just point out this following statistic. Jordan Love has now thrown multiple interceptions in consecutive games. Mm. Do you know how many times Aaron Rodgers did that in
what you got to do.
Once upon a time, Aaron Rodgers was just starting. Yep. I'm talking about his entire Green Bay career. Yep. Do you know how many times he threw multiple interceptions in consecutive games? The answer is zero. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's where we are. So, again, I am a Jordan Love believer. I continue to believe that we are going to see, you know, him taking some lumps, and ultimately it will get to the right place. This has been a little bit of a rocky period here. Is it a bad stretch or is it a bad sign?
I think it's a bad stretch for a talented player who's young and who has a young group around him on offense. You saw Jaire Alexander there kind of trying to finesse it, right? It is a young group on offense. So, Greeny, to your initial point, Love on the rocks. Hey, no big surprise. He is going to struggle. He's going to have some great games, and he's going to have some rough ones because young players do. No, you don't get it.
See, now you know how we feel most of the time. That was a Neil Diamond song.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, for all
I didn't think you were going to get it. Somebody out there got it, and that's all that matters.
Just pour me a drink, and I'll tell you some
lines.
There
you go.
Okay. That's also from that same song. Go on.
I was making some kind of point about the Packers' offense being young.
Are they right now thinking to themselves, if you're
no,
if
absolutely
you're,
not.
No, tell
no,
me what you're
no,
thinking.
No, listen, the game plan suggested they understood this was going to be where Jordan Love is, right? They need to run the football. Aaron Jones not being there was a huge loss. But the defense, you hear Alexander saying, they have to stop teams, score. They understand this offense is a work in progress. This is not a we regret the Jordan Love. This is what players have to do as they develop in the league with developing receivers simultaneously.
I'm with you guys, but I think I'm going to be a little bit less gentle. Jordan Love is not a rookie. And this offense is not without talent. What they've put up this week is unacceptable. So, like, I get it. You're going to take your time. You want to be careful with it. But you can't, one, be careful with the quarterback, and two, turn the ball over a couple times. Like, you got to pick one or the other.
Agreed.
If you're going to be a quarterback who's going to give us lots of points, we'll deal with a couple turnovers. We can't have us running the ball on first and second down, throwing screens on third down, and still giving the ball to Robert Splane twice.
That's what was concerning about it. It seemed like they wanted to run. It seemed like they wanted the Jeff Saturday game plan there where they just run it up the middle. And A.J. Dillon played as well as we've seen him in a while, considering no Aaron Jones. But, yeah, if you're going to do that, then the trade-off is, like we at least we protect
which
the
is,
ball.
LaFleur is going to have to get to a place where he understands Jordan's going to have to learn literally on the fly. And that means pushing the ball down the field. You have explosive receivers.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, Watson makes that – you got to go score. Like, there are certain things. And coming back on the interception, Watson's got to come back to that ball, right? He clearly sees the ball is underthrown. He's 6 feet whatever over a 5 foot whatever. Like, go – at some point, we're seeing receivers help these QBs out. And I'm not blaming this all on Watson. I'm just saying at some point they got to get together that all these players got to play best.
So both these teams now are 2-3, and both quite surprisingly, I think. I think we thought the Packers would be better. I don't know how the Raiders have won two games, but they have. And
played
so
the Broncos once.
We opened up that's right. They beat Denver week one, and they win this crazy game last night. And so they're sitting there at 2-3. And so it almost feels like my asking you this question is ridiculous. But Devontae Adams has really never seemed happy since the moment he got there. I don't think this is a team going anywhere, although at 2-3, we're 3 weeks from the trade deadline. We talked about Justin Jefferson getting hurt. Should we be talking about the possibility of Devontae Adams getting traded?
I think if the Raiders were 1-4 or 0-5, the answer would be yes. But at 2-3, you're not giving up on a season. I mean, you're just not. We can all sit here and say we don't think the Raiders are very good, and I don't. But at 2-3, like you don't. I mean, things. The ball is not round, and it bounces funny. Like things can break your way. So I think Devontae Adams is somebody people have had their eye on. To your point. He was happy when he got there. He has not been happy since they let go of his buddy, Derek Carr, who's now with the Saints. And obviously he's not happy if they're going to be losing. But no, unfortunately for teams that have had their eye on this as a potential trade acquisition, the Raiders are 2-3, and my sense would be that's not something.
No chance you're getting rid of him. This guy, unless you're going to reset your football team for 3 years, he is the most viable piece on your offense. You just signed Garoppolo to 3 years or whatever this deal is. You got the Bears and Patriots in the next 2 weeks. This team could be winning four games. You ain't trading Devontae Adams doing this. So absolutely not. You don't trade him.
I mean, Vegas is always fun when you first get there. You're there for a little too long. Everybody got to go home.
3 days.
Well played. Well played.
Too far. Anything
well
more played. Than 3 days, get me out of there.
Suddenly that breakfast buffet just seems a little too overloaded. Too much. We'll see. That's where it began last night. But we had unbelievable postseason action last night. Jeff Saturday was on the edge of his seat watching his Bravos, who needed one desperately last night at home. Game 2, NLDS. Bottom 8, Braves down 4-3. One hand, 1 foot, one on, two out, Austin Riley.
Riley in the air to left field. On the run, Marsh. There it goes! Austin Riley has given the Braves the lead in the eighth.
Woo! Woo! There we go, baby!
You know, it's always nice when October rolls around and you remember who the Braves fans are.
Jeff
you never
Saturday.
Hear from them all year.
Go with the nuts.
That's because
right.
You don't want to rub
Hold
your face
on. Ninth inning. Here's how it ends. Phil's down 5-4. Bryce Harper at first. Unbelievable finish.
He deals a 2-2. Castellanos in the air to right center field. Harris is on the run. Harris at the track. He leaps and he makes the catch. Harper might be doubled up. The throw gets away. The throw to first. It's over. Tagged. He couldn't get back. And it's a double up to end game two. Wow.
What a finish.
Woo!
Saturday is fired up. Graziano and I are looking at each other wondering the same thing.
Right, like a young and experienced player like Bryce Harper, you can understand why he'd make
Where the hell was
like
he going?
What was he doing?
Why was Bryce Harper where Bryce Harper was? One way or another.
I'm not worried about the details. W's matter right now.
Braves rallied a win. Entering last night, they were 1-48 in the postseason when trailing by 4 runs at any point in a game. So the scene shifts and the plot thickens. Ooh. Game 3 tomorrow night in Philadelphia. As we continue, the disaster for Dak in San Francisco. Is he now playing for his job? Do the Cowboys need to be thinking about a different future? Speaking of which, the Patriots hitting rock bottom. Is it time to bench Mac? Is it all Bill's fault? Those are the questions, and we've got the answers as we get up with you on a Tuesday on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Don't sweat the technique.
This is the super team era now.
Never sweat the technique.
This finals matchup was destiny.
The league's two best teams, the Liberty and the Aces, square off. Game 2 is tomorrow night, 9 Eastern. Aces up 1-0. WNBA Countdown will kick off our coverage at 8 Eastern time. On we go on Get Up. Graziano, overreaction Tuesday. Let's go. If I were to say it's an overreaction to say the Giants will have a top five draft pick, is that an overreaction?
No, it's not. The way they're playing right now, the way their offensive line looks, we hope they get Saquon Barkley back at some point soon, but no guarantee there. And their schedule is rough. Out to a rough start, 1-4. I think this is entirely possible that they end up finishing the season down there, which would be very upsetting for a team that made the playoffs.
I, in fact, think it's an underreaction. They could be in the back for the first draft pick. All right, next, we talked about Justin Jefferson on IR. If I said the Vikings should consider trading their quarterback, is that an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction. The Vikings might think it's an overreaction, and I think that's where they are. But, yeah, I think Kirk Cousins not signed beyond this year. If he's not in your plans beyond this year, I think you go to Cousins, who has a no-trade clause, and you say, would you rather be on a contender the rest of the year? And see what you can get for him to help you start what looks like it's going to be a rebuild.
And then finally, if I said this is going to be Bill Belichick's last season coaching the New England Patriots, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think so. I think that is not an overreaction. Wow. Things are very bad there. And they are now wondering if they really have the quarterback for the long term. I think there's a lot going on there that feels like they're headed for a major reset. You're going to do a major reset. You're going to do it with a coach in his early 70s. Is he going to want to do that? Like, I think there's a lot of legitimate questions swirling around the short-term and long-term future of that franchise.
All right, I want to ask you a few of them quickly.
Sure.
Here. One of them is this. I want you to make the point you did in our meeting. Your history, the things you've been around, the way they felt and how this feels similar.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, like, I was in Miami covering the Dolphins, Don Shula's last year. I was covering the Yankees, Joe Torre's last year. I was covering the Giants, Tom Coughlin's last year. Like, I've seen this. The Patriots are not going to fire Bill Belichick. That's never going to happen. But all three of those situations were situations where the team had decided to move on, and then they dress it up as a salute to his career there, which he obviously would deserve. But, yeah, I think if this season continues going the way it is, I think that's probably where it's headed.
Super quickly, I said that to Rex yesterday, and Rex said if Bill Belichick was a free agent, that half the teams in the league would snap him up immediately. Is that accurate?
I do think if he was interested in continuing coaching, he would get a job somewhere. I think he has that level of cachet and that level of record. But, yeah, it's
okay.
It's not what it was.
So I wanted to just get all that out on the table. That said, so, Jeff, you've been around an awful long time. Are we seeing the end of the most successful run any coach has ever had with any team?
I don't think so. I think they make adjustments in the front office. I think they take back. So I think this is a roster reconstruction issue. And they've given Bill the chance to run his own, the entire organization for so long. Hey, let's bring somebody in. Let's help with roster reconstruction. Get this thing back to it. That has been the issue. And obviously what they did with Mac Jones and this whole idea about, where Mac Jones fits in all of this. From a coaching perspective, the last 2 years has been an atrocity. So they understand they have to get some things fixed. But when you're trying to manage the front office, the field, all these fires you're trying to put out, it's a lot.
You made a fascinating point about what we were seeing from Bill earlier today.
Yeah, I think the most impressive things that Bill has done over his career have come from a place of humility. So, like, he exploited opportunities like Tom Brady. Maybe he is better. Maybe the hand-picked guy, Drew Bledsoe, wasn't the guy. That's a humble choice. Going from the 3-4 to the 4-3, back to the 3-4. That expressed some humility. Going to the tight end, double tight end set, is like a market inefficiency. We're fine. We can do that. Taking over the league with Wes Welker and Wes Welker wannabes in the slot. Yeah. No one else is doing that. But it seems like now he's coming from a place of arrogance where it's like, I don't need Tom Brady. You know what? We can win with guys who are not game breakers on offense. We can win totally like leaning on our defense. It feels like more, rather than him saying there's an opportunity here, it's him saying we don't need coordinators. I got this. And it seems like a little bit more arrogance from Bill Belichick. And he's earned it if anybody has.
Sure.
But it's not the way that he's always made his decisions.
You think that they would take personnel control away from him and just say you go ahead and coach the team? And he'd be okay with this at this stage in his career after two decades?
I do.
Being the whole program?
Yeah, because I think he understands they are failing on the outside. Like, when you look at it, there's no explosiveness in this offense. You can't tell me after 5 years you can't see and go, hey, this is not going the way we thought this was going to go. I got to fix it to stay in. I mean, at some point, I think you do. To your point, he's made humble decisions before.
He's not going to make it now. Oh. The man, like, he won six Super Bowls. You're not taking none of my power away from me that I've earn.
Bro, that's the hardest by 80 points in 2 weeks.
Six Super Bowls. The hardest thing about this is I can see where Bill Belichick will be coming from, and I can see where Robert Kraft will be coming from, where it's like, we deserve more, we expect more. But if I'm Bill Belichick and I've won you six Super Bowls, you're not doing anything. You come in here and tell me what I need to do?
Yeah.
Drop these rings on your table.
If you played as bad as you have the last two seasons, I do think you sit down and go, hey, this is real. Like, we're not on the verge of a playoff team right now in New England. They understand where they're lacking. They
have to get it fixed. I don't want you to think that I am defending Bill Belichick and saying he should have a lifelong tenure there. But what I am saying is he's gotten them to nine Super Bowls. So anything you say to this man, I think he is rightfully looking at you like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know how we got to these Super Bowls?
Hold on a second. If you're Robert Kraft and you're sitting in that office, what's your answer when he goes, we got to nine Super Bowls? You're going to say, well, Tom Brady was here for a lot of them. A lot of Hall of Fame quarterbacks gloss over a lot of coaching errors, whether it's in the front office, whether it's actual coaching. Players overcome coaching mistakes. So it's not like you've done it all. If you're Robert Kraft, that's where you go back to him and say, we don't have him. We got to find something else, some other way to do this.
Belichick's game plans and defense helped out Tom Brady a lot, too. I'm saying is the results are the results. Look, I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm saying that I understand that if someone came in my office telling me after I've gone to nine Super Bowls and won six how to do my job or what powers they're going to take away from me, I'm not saying he's right. I'm saying that he is justified.
Think Bill Belichick understands that the league moves on no matter who you are? Because he's let go of some awfully good players when he didn't think it was their time.
I don't think it's a matter of him understanding that. I think it's a matter of what you're willing to do at this point in your career, right? I mean, like this is the oldest coach in the league. He's a lot closer to the end of it than he is to the beginning.
And he wants to beat Shula, right? Like, he wants to get that record. So
29 wins away.
Yeah, so how's the best way to do it? Whatever I can do to get those wins,
I'm willing
to do it.
The way he's going right now, that's 5-6 years.
Yeah, well, if you do this, you'll never get it. But I'm just saying, if you change stuff, if you change to get to that record, I think that is a sign of...
You walked in the door of your house when you would get back to Atlanta soon and you said to your wife, you know what, I'm not so happy with the way things have been going on around here. I'm going to bring someone else in to take over about half of your responsibilities around here. Half the things I usually do with you, I'm going to start doing with them. This is not a ridiculous analogy. That's the way that would go. She would throw you out of the house immediately. Yeah. It is all or nothing. I cannot see them taking anything
ridiculous.
Away from
it's a Bill ridiculous Bell. Analogy, and this is not the first time on this show that we have been forced to be comfortable with the idea of having multiple wives. Yeah. I am not comfortable with it.
Wherever you're stepping.
I don't think
you're showing off of the camera. Somebody clip this as soon as the day's wife.
I just don't think that's what we stand for.
Agreed, Dan.
I think my point was sort of self-explanatory.
No.
Was it not
a self-explanatory? I mean, it's slightly different because it's like, unless Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft gave him secret vows off camera.
And we didn't say we're going to move on in our marriage. Like, in the NFL, you move on because people aren't good. Hey, this player's not doing it well enough. We got to move on. If you're a coach and you're like, hey, if Robert Kraft goes, hey, man, the last 3 years, you haven't been good enough on the roster side of it. I'm going to replace this and help you with this so we can get to Shula. Now we're together. Literally, now we're going to make it happen.
There is, in my personal opinion, zero chance Belichick would allow that to happen.
Yeah.
As we continue, the D in Big D stands for Doubting Dakota. Is it time to accept this just isn't going to get better? And if so, what does that mean for the future? We're talking about it next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and we have more bad breaking news from the NFL. Dolphins running back Devon Achane, who has been one of the most outstanding and explosive young players we've seen come into the league in a long time. You see here the tweet from Shefty just moments ago, expected to miss multiple weeks with a knee injury. He's a candidate for injured reserve. That would mean missing at least 4 weeks. He's leading the league in rushing per attempt at over 12 yards a carry.
Is that good?
Gracious. Take it from anyone who has either had him on their fantasy team or against him on their fantasy team. He's spectacular, the 1-2 punch with Raheem Mostert. You all know about that Dolphins offense. So that's terrible news. We also have terrible news earlier this morning, if you're just joining us, on Justin Jefferson, who might be the best wide receiver in the NFL. He is going on IR with a hamstring. So this is a back-to-back bad news kind of day in the NFL.
Just on the Dolphins running backs, yeah. Jeff Wilson Jr., who hasn't played yet this year, they can open the 21-day practice window on him. He may be able to come back and help fill in for Achane while he's out.
One way or another. I mean, it's just brutal here in sort of these teams and these situations. And it couldn't be more vastly different. The Dolphins have a lot of other places to go. Oh, by the way, they've scored more points through 5 weeks than any team in NFL history. The Vikings, this definitely opens up at least the possibility of a conversation about trading their quarterback away.
Yeah, I mean, from a player's perspective, it's really hard to imagine them losing their best wide receiver and then moving on from the quarterback. It's going to be real sad going in the locker room the next day if that happens. But from a long distance or like a long view perspective for the team, yeah, they're not going anywhere without Jefferson. They haven't extended Cousins. He doesn't figure to be the long-term answer. Maybe it is time to get something.
It could be literally. It could be 1-7 or 1-8. I mean, yeah, Cousins will be on the. It's just a matter of will Cousins do it. Dan talked about him having a no-trade clause if he wants to go, but he will be up there. And listen, as good as Zach Wilson has played the last 2 weeks for Greeny,
yes.
I mean Jets, 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 Jets might be in the. They may be calling.
I'm open to the conversation. By the way, that sound you hear all across America is people frantically racing to their fantasy lineups because Devon Achane has been so spectacular. Okay, next order of business is Dallas. We've talked a lot about the Cowboys and the disaster that was Sunday night in San Francisco. Yesterday, Monday, Dan Orlovsky, did not hold back with his views on Dak and the offense.
That's the worst performance of Dak Prescott's tenure as a Dallas Cowboy. And for anybody who wants to try to tell me that this was a line of scrimmage game, don't. This was a quarterback game. San Francisco's was galaxies better, significantly better than Dak Prescott. Offensively, it's the word that stood out was archaic. That's what the offense looked like for Dallas last night. This was a completely outclassed football team from top to bottom by San Francisco. And if we're being honest, we cannot say that the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders legitimately after what we witnessed last night.
All right, so there's a lot to unpack there. And the first part of it was he placed the majority of the blame at the feet of the quarterback for that game. Jeff, agree or disagree?
Disagree. I mean, listen, I said this last week. The 49ers are a much better football team than the Dallas Cowboys. The 49ers played an excellent football game. The Cowboys did not, and it just showed the discrepancy between the two rosters. Well, you and I sat here and argued about Dak could not – I don't care what quarterback was on that field that night. They ain't carrying that team to a win. Greenlaw is having a freaking heyday. You got Warner balling. And listen, by the way, he's got no control of the ball getting punched out on the sideline there early in the game. And once the game got into that mindset and they're up 21-7, Katie barred the door, bro. It's coming. Everybody, they are going to turn this thing into a roughshod game. That's what happened. Everybody blaming Dak. Everybody was complimenting Mike McCarthy. Oh, they're going to be a more of a run, slow this thing down. That's all well and good until you play an explosive football team like the 49ers who have explosive players all over the offense. Boop, boop, boo. You're down. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God. Dak's going to bring him back? Like, this is and by the way, Dan, there is no such thing as a quarterback game and not a line of scrimmage game. Every game is a line of scrimmage game. That's straight trash, too. 2 points on there.
I mean, he's right. The truth of the matter is every game is a line of scrimmage game. If it's even at the line of scrimmage, then you move on to other people.
Right.
Purdy wouldn't play nearly as well if he was down by a bunch of points and Cowboys are getting after him. So that's fair. Since I've been on this show, I've done a lot of Dak defending and supporting. So I feel ridiculous stepping out here now and trying to defend him. So he did not play well.
That's true.
But arguing that it was a quarterback game or that McCarthy came through, the Cowboys defense came through, and the reason why they lost is because Dak fell it came short, that's a hard argument to make.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't understand why it has to be one or the other. Like, you could say they weren't he wasn't going to lift them to a victory over the Niners. That's fine. He could lift them to still being in the game in the third quarter. Like, I listened to Dan Orlovsky say this is the worst performance of Dak Prescott's career. And my first thought was, what's the best? What's his big signature game where he came in and overcame everything and said, like, I'm putting this on my back and delivering a win because I'm that guy. And it's hard to think of it. And this is year 8. Like, we want to talk about Jordan Love, right? Like first year as a starter.
Not even game 8. Yeah. No, your point is good.
I feel like we're starting to get to the point where, and I mean, I've been with you. Like, I've sat here and defended Dak Prescott. When people would sit here and say, Carson Wentz is better, I would say, no, Dan Orlovsky, Carson Wentz is not better than Dak Prescott. Like, I thought he would ascend. And I just wonder if this is a player that is at his level and isn't going to rise above
it. So if he is at his level, whatever level you guys want to put him at, he is a performing quarterback in the NFL that you will win with and because of, not in spite of. He's not like this guy that we're just going to win around him. You're winning because of his performance.
But win what?
Right?
Okay. You're not going to compete with the best team in your conference.
Agreed.
What are you doing?
But you also have to have, like, Cooks has got to step up. Gallup has to step up. Pollard has to. Like, there are other. You let go of Schultz, by the way. Terrible decision on that side. And so you're looking at, and everybody points to one player. The bottom line is, on this offense, if it's going to be productive, those other players have to step up. And when you look at the best quarterbacks, man, Brock Purdy is in the MVP conversation, not because he's making so many more throws, because Ayuk takes it yard, Samuel takes it yard, McCaffrey takes it yard, Kittle takes it yard. My God, like, some other players at some point have to make big plays for you as well. I'm just saying, don't put it all to one player. Make sure that we pass this on to everyone.
He's not in the MVP conversation because he's making so many more, but he is making more throws.
Agreed.
Like, he
agreed.
Is.
And he's. I'm using him as an example.
And you want to talk about Cooks and all these other players around? There's a reason a quarterback gets $40, $50 million a year. You're supposed to be that guy. You're supposed to be the guy with the superhero cape on. You are. I'm sorry. That's what comes with the territory.
Let's go to another place. And because Dan talked about this and Rex talked about it, he used the word archaic for the offense. He used the word archaic for what they're trying to run. No motion, no creativity, incredibly predictable. Those kinds of things. Is that what that offense looks like to you?
It certainly looked like that yesterday against the 2 days ago against the 49ers.
Yes.
However, that's the contradiction. Is it's weird to say that we blame Dak, but the offense is archaic.
Right.
Offense is archaic, then there is no quarterback that can make an archaic offense.
Right.
So we're spreading the blame around. What do you think of the whole idea? Because I'm asking you, is this a Mike McCarthy? Because Rex sat here yesterday and said they miss Kellen Moore. That's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, I think different games call for different types of offense. And to be able to play a Mike McCarthy-style game where you're playing a lesser opponent and you're up by a bunch of points is possible. But when you're down by a bunch of points, you need to shift into Kellen Moore mode. And that's what being a coach is. It's changing. So once that happens, if they don't have motions in their offense, if they don't have complex schemes, because you did see there are lots of easy throws for a Purdy in that game because of motion, because of shift, because of challenges. To be able to do that for Dak, I think that takes some off of him. That takes some pressure off him. You don't have to be great nearly as often. And I think that's what's special about Purdy is they don't ask him to be great all that often, which is why when they do ask him to make a tough throw, a tight window throw across the middle field, he's able to do it every now and then.
And I will say
that Dak to be great this year. Like, the wins they've had have been easy wins where the defense scores touchdowns.
Plays, absolutely.
The Sunday was the game. Like, hey, man, you got to be better tonight.
Right, okay. My point.
There's no way McCarthy called that interception they threw way down the field, overshot the guy by 10 yards.
Okay,
there's no way.
I get it, but some of those interceptions, when you're down, you are going to try to force. I've played with some really good quarterbacks who threw threw some god-awful balls in bad situations. And it does, it snowballs. But when you talk about offenses, the one point you made, everybody was lauding Mike McCarthy 3 weeks ago
right.
about him taking the play calls over. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's archaic. Here's the difference. When you look at San Fran, you look at Miami, you look at all these, they are getting receivers moving and motioning and resetting the defensive line of scrimmage over and over and over to find the mismatches. So it is behind the times. So at some point, you're going to have to figure that part out because those offenses are the most productive right now in the NFL. And Dak and their offense is capable of doing it.
Oh, by the way, they missed Trayvon Diggs like crazy, too.
No
doubt. Talk about that more as we continue. Meanwhile, we showed you one of last night's baseball games. Let's show you the other. The Dodgers in trouble. Their annual October swoon. Down 1-0 already to the Diamondbacks. Top of six. That's Lourdes Gurriel knocking one out. Why use two hands? When one is enough, it's 4-1 Arizona. Bottom of six. Dodgers down 4-2. Bases loaded, one out. Andrew Sal Frank doing the pitching, striking out James Outman, so there's two outs. Sal Frank comes out. Ryan Thompson comes in. Colton Wong out of the inning. Missed opportunity for L.A. Diamondbacks still up 4-2. Bottom of nine, same score. Paul Sewell on the save. Two outs. Mookie Betts on deck as the tying run. But he's never going to get the chance. Diamondbacks up 4-2. Diamondbacks up 2-0. The Dodgers in big trouble in this best of five. They've had a ton of playoff fails in the last decade. And right now, they're very much on pace for another. They're just the fifth 100-win team ever to lose their first two postseason games at home. The only time the Dodgers ever came back from a love two hole in a best of five series was 1981. Coming up, just when you thought Zach Wilson was starting to get it together. Crushing news that could change everything. The Jets, 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 Jets. You'll hear it next. Get up on ESPN.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Back on Get Up with sneaky big news, and I hate it. The Jets will be without their right tackle, Elijah Vera Tucker, who was their best offensive lineman for the rest of the season. He tore his Achilles against the Broncos. It's the second straight year that he suffers a season-ending injury in Denver. It is just a devastating blow for
a team.
Beast. That was just sort of stabilizing where they were now after the injury to Aaron Rodgers, and this is the area of their team which is the most questionable, and they have the least depth.
Yeah.
So why not turn to an interior offensive lineman? Again, Vera Tucker has been playing tackle.
He's played everything except center.
Correct.
The kid can play everywhere.
He was drafted as a guard. But either way, the point is, can you describe what this means for the Jets' chances of righting a ship that feels like it has sort of steadied a little bit?
Yeah, no, it's significant. And listen, anytime you're talking about a guy, not only where he plays, he can play anywhere, but the level he plays with and how he helps everybody around him play better. The visual, the conversations he's having with guys, but and you're talking about Becton, who came out of the game with you. I mean, this offensive line is not in a great shape anyway. To lose your best offensive lineman is devastating, especially when you're trying to right Zach Wilson in the ways that he's struggling.
Every quarterback is a little bit better with a great offensive line.
Amen.
Good quarterbacks become great. Great quarterbacks become a Hall of Famer.
Yep,
bad quarterbacks have the chance of being mediocre with a good offensive line. This offensive line has not been great, but they got a little bit worse here, and there's no hope of him coming back this season. Unless he
I just heard you say we carry him, which I appreciate.
That's back to back. I mean, so the Achilles with the Jets. I mean, this is Rodgers four plays into the season, and now this it's a devastating blow.
The game is mean, and there's no question about it. Like, this is what happens. But yeah, for a team that really can't afford to lose any more of its best offensive players,
right.
If there's a formula for the Jets, it's what we saw Sunday with Breece Hall running the ball and on all that. But that's going to require, you know, an offensive line, as I've learned sitting across the table from Jeff Saturday for years. But yeah, no, it's a tough. They're not. Their margin for error at this point with Rodgers down is not very good.
So the question, I guess, becomes, and you see their schedule. We've talked a lot. Certainly, all the Jet fans have talked a lot about their first six games of their season, which ends this coming Sunday in a game against the Eagles. I've said all along, if they come out of it 2-4, they have a chance. You see, the schedule gets markedly easier as they go forward.
I'm not sure you see it. Yeah,
markedly. I mean,
you got two.
Well, you got the Giants.
Possible. I mean,
you got the Raiders. You got a couple of games. You might be.
That's
my point is. It's a lot more fun than playing Kansas City and whatever. The point of the question is, can this Jets team, with Zach Wilson starting to look certainly better, I don't know exactly how we described what we saw from him on Sunday, can this team, in an AFC that does not look as loaded as we expected, make a run to the playoffs?
Only if their defense plays out of their mind. I don't think it's going to happen. Their defense, this is not going to be based on Zach Wilson and the offense. If Breece Hall can get going, they can. But their defense is going to have to be opportunistic. They're going to have to score points. They're going to have to block kicks, return kicks. Whatever it is, they're going to have to add in to what this team is. This is based strictly on how well their defense can perform.
Dominique, playoffs for the Jets this year, yes or yes?
I'm sorry, Greedy. I want to say yes, but
should
I don't
they seriously? We have the news about Justin Jefferson today. Seriously, should they be trying to trade for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he should be on the table. Trading for Kirk Cousins he's only got 1 year left on his contract, so it does not tie you to him if you want to go
correct.
To Rodgers next year. I'm not sure how it works with their cap, but Kirk Cousins is an upgrade, and he knows how to throw to his best player. I guarantee you Garrett Wilson's going to get a lot
remember,
of
that. Rodgers gave all that cap money back when he took a pay cut right before the season. Cousins is not going to be
Right.
You can afford him, right?
It would upset the apple
$10
cart
this year.
A little bit. The question is well, Rodgers wouldn't like it. There'd be a lot of stuff, I think, that would happen there. The question is, how would that play? It's an upgrade, at least in the short term, but the very short term, and how much of an upgrade is questionable.
If you win two games out of those, you would get after it.
It's got to be 500 by week 12, yeah, and then Aaron is coming back.
You're in it.
Aaron is coming back week 13.
I agree. I'm in.
If they're
I'm
500,
in.
Jeff
coming
is in.
Back.
You in?
Coming back.
No, man.
Build the Achilles. Build it. Put some cushions under the heel.
Mine.
Lift that thing up. Put a boot on. Whatever you got to do. Let him throw with it.
It's going to happen.
Like,
all right. More on this
like
as we go. In the meantime, I told you, October is the best sports month on the calendar. And tonight, we add another layer.
The Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select.
Yeah.
From the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard. Yeah.
Hockey season is back. We will see Connor Bedard's debut tonight here on ESPN against Sid Crosby, and that means that PK Subban is back. We are ready to go. Okay, for the fans who have heard the name and don't really know much about what to expect, he's the next great one in this line of great ones. What are we going to see from Connor Bedard?
Well, he's the man right now. There's no question. And when you think about it, going into this season, he's got a ton of hype around him, but deservedly so. Only 7 18-year-olds have averaged a point per game when they've come into the league. Dale Hawerchuk, Sidney Crosby, and his old counterpart Patrick Kane did that in Chicago. But this guy has been nothing short but unbelievable in junior. His junior numbers are outstanding. But what he's done in training camp in the preseason, making defenders miss like he does here, His ability, his balance, his skill level, and his ability to score big goals in big moments. But this guy's got a pro-level shot. I think he's going to have a real opportunity to have an impact early. He's going to Chicago, a team that needs it, a city that needs it. And to put it in perspective, it was tough to get a ticket just to get into the building at the United Center for preseason to watch this guy play. So there's a ton of hype around him, but he's shown so far that the sky's the limit.
The Blackhawks owned that town for about a decade stretch there when they were so really good. This could give a real shot in the arm that they desperately need. Let's move around a little bit again. Season starts tonight. You'll see Bedard and you'll see Sidney Crosby. Let's talk about the Bruins. They had 135 points last year, best regular season ever, but then get bounced in the first round. What do we expect from them this year?
Well, anytime you lose a guy like Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci on your team, that's two tremendous holes on that team. They try to do some patchwork, right? So they failed to re-sign Bertuzzi. They lose Taylor Hall. They trade Taylor Hall away. They also lose Orlov on the back end from free agency. Bergeron, Krejci. They try to do some patchwork, pick up JVR on a one-year deal. They pick up Geeky on a one-year deal. Shattenkirk to a one-year deal. So they're doing some patchwork. Listen, is it possible for them to repeat as President's Trophy winners? Of course, but it's unlikely. I think when you lose those types of guys, you're still good in net. They got solid defense, but it's tough to replace those players. And I think that for them, they went through a lot of adversity at the start of the year with some key injuries to Charlie McAvoy and some big-name guys. They were able to get through it and still win the President's Trophy. But I don't think it's going to happen this year.
So we're at the very beginning. Let's go all the way to the end. Give me your Stanley Cup final right now.
I got Vegas. I mean, you got to beat the champs. You want to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. They only lost one player last year in Riley. I think this team is poised. They have the experience. I think also they're not too worn down from that run. They have a balanced team. Everybody was involved. They got everyone involved. I think that Vegas is poised to repeat. The only person standing in their way, in my opinion, is going to be Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. But I got Carolina possibly coming out of the East. I think it's going to be Vegas coming out of the West, unless Edmonton can upgrade their defense.
Okay, we will see what they're all able to do. Meantime, I know what your favorite spot on this show is.
Is it pancake
time? We got pancakes. Get out here Saturday.
Yes,
get
sir.
Out here, Fox.
Let's hit
somebody.
We ain't worried about who's winning. We want to hit somebody special.
Let's hit somebody.
Smoke, baby.
That's it. Where do I throw these?
A hockey version.
He's the thrower. He'll throw.
We want to see some pancakes.
Show us the three biggest hits from last year.
Let's see what we got.
Okay, let's start. Mr. Schneider here, one of my favorite players. New York. Grab a seat. Trent Frederick, I wasn't fond of him when I played, so I love to have him. Schneider's a big boy. The Rangers fans will love this. The Rangers fans will love this, but he lowers the boom. And this is why the Rangers are going to have a chance to go deep, deep. Okay.
I'm sorry.
One more. Bang. Okay.
Look at this.
Sat him down. Big hit. Second, one of my favorite players, Matthew Tkachuk, comes in, lowers the boom on Alex DeBrincat. Head down. Man down. Get your head up. This is the NHL. Pack a lunch when you're in the corners. This is what happens. Matthew Tkachuk gets in there, lays the body just like Dad did. Against his brother's old team. Sat him down. Do you have any more pancakes left? Okay, we got one more hit. Let's see it. Nazem Kadri at the Garden. You can't be high-stepping across Broadway with your head down. The true betrayed steps up, lowers the boom just like that. But you got to give Kadri credit. He gets right back up. That's how the hockey players do it. Right back up, head down. Hello, how you doing? Just like that.
Oh, that is tough.
It is tough. There goes the helmet. There goes the pancakes.
Hockey has better pancakes than football.
That's
the sickest pancakes we've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
This
gentleman, great job.
Tonight.
Let's
Don't miss the next great one tonight on ESPN.
Boom.
Connor Bedard. Meanwhile, coming up, Love on the Rocks. Jordan, a hat trick. Three picks. Green Bay crumbles in a game they had no business losing. And Jeff's got football pancakes coming up, too. Next hour, get up on ESPN.
That was unbelievable.
Let's get straight to the hits.
Let's get this.
No more questions about hockey.